This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Well, it's the last day of October, and harvest is still underway. According to the state crop report, corn harvested 73% complete compared to 84% for the five-year average. Soybean harvest 86% complete compared to 87% last year. And winter wheat planted 76% compared to 83% last year. Winter wheat emerged 54% compared to 51% for the five-year average. And we have another local farmer to visit with this week. Jay Neiman of South Litchfield in Montgomery County says, like many other farmers we've heard from, that he's happy with the yields he's been seeing. And weather permitting, he'll be finished with his bean fields in a few days.
We're coming along pretty good with the harvest this year. The beans, we got about 3 or 4 days left. And corn, we've got quite a ways. We've been focusing more on the soybeans. The yields are really coming in strong. We're right there holding together with what we did last year, yield-wise.
Sounds great. And this is a question I think I've asked just about every farmer that I've talked to this year. Are the yields and quality of the crops you're seeing, are you surprised by anything? Were you expecting maybe a little bit less because of the weird weather patterns we had, or, you know, are you not surprised?
I'm quite surprised with the lack of moisture that we had and the rough season we had trying to get the crop in this spring. I'm kind of made for a challenging season, but I guess the genetics just have really come a long ways over the years.
Did you have any issues with weeds, any heavy weed pressure in your area?
That varied from farm to farm on the weed pressure in the soybeans, and primarily depending on what kind of a chemical program you utilized in your farming operation.
For you guys specifically, have you tried out any of the newer technology? Maybe I've heard a lot of talk of farmers trying out the Xtend beans and dicamba. Did you happen to use any of that on your farm?
I did plant some of the dicamba soybeans on our farm, the Xtend soybeans, primarily chasing the yield advantage to it, but I didn't feel that there was enough research done with the dicamba to use that program on my farm. So I've primarily been split between Roundup Ready beans and the Liberty style soybeans.
All right, sounds good, Jay. And with harvest, obviously, you've got to store your grain somewhere. Do you guys have a lot of on-farm storage, or do you haul mostly straight to the elevator?
We do have on-farm storage for quite a bit of our crop, but we have been hauling quite a bit to the elevator right now, just while they do have the storage available, and it kind of speeds things up for us. With that, I might give a shout-out to the drivers out there. And just when you see the farm equipment and the tractors and wagons and trucks on the road, that they might slow down a little bit and think about what the job these farmers are doing and how they're providing for food to your table. And just take a moment to slow down and pay attention to what's going on.
Yes, always a great reminder. There's definitely been a lot of traffic throughout the last couple months, and we've still got harvest going on, still hauling grain, so a great reminder to everyone on the roadways. And Jay, I know it's not just you and your farming operation. I think your dad helps out as well. This is a family farming operation.
Yes, I farm with my dad, and we work together on this. And this next week, I've got my brother who's going to come back from Minnesota and help out for a few days to get things going on the corn. And he just likes to come back home and be involved in the farm once or twice a season.
Well, it's always great to hear about family farming operations. So happy that you have the opportunity to do that with your family. Jay, not only are you involved with the farming operation at home, you're involved with a local organization, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, and I believe an event coming up in November you want to tell us about.
Yes, Katie, I'd like to announce that we will have the 100th annual Farm Bureau meeting coming up on Thursday, November the 9th at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Taylor Springs. The doors will open at 5:30, and the meal will be served at 6 o'clock. And there we will have Mike Hodge that will be our keynote speaker of the evening. And he is the Executive Director for Member Services and Public Relations for the Illinois Farm Bureau. And he's always been a friend of Montgomery County, so we look forward to hearing what he has to say to us.
All right. Sounds like a great meeting. And for those this meeting, I guess, would be exclusively for Farm Bureau members. If you're not a member, you have opportunities to join, right, Jay?
That's correct. It is for members, and need to give the Farm Bureau office a call if you're not registered yet to come to the meeting. If you could give us a call by Tuesday morning, we could still get you in on the list.
Sounds easy enough, and if someone would like to become a member of Montgomery County Farm Bureau, that's probably as easy as a phone call as well?
Correct. They can give the Farm Bureau call over there in Hillsboro, and they could get you signed up.
Jay Neiman, Montgomery County Farm Bureau President and farmer from South Litchfield. In other news, Growth Energy says that in just 5 months, American drivers have surpassed another billion miles on E15, bringing the total miles driven across the U.S. to 2 billion. This comes on the heels of Growth Energy's recent announcement that more than 1,000 stations across the country are currently offering E15 to consumers. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score says the milestone cements the fact that drivers have embraced E15 fuels. E15 is approved for use in all vehicles 2001 and newer, as well as all flex fuel vehicles, which combined represent more than 87% of the vehicles on the road. Meanwhile, more than 1,000 fuel stations around the country are offering E15, nearly triple the number of stations from the same time last year, and almost 16 million American adults have access to the fuel. A study by Florida State University shows consumers regularly mix up food labels. Florida State University's Institute of Food and Ag Sciences says consumers mix up labeled organic and non-genetically modified, and some view the two labels as the same. A national survey of more than 1,000 consumers gauged their willingness to pay for food labeled genetically modified versus non-genetically modified. In the study, when consumers looked at packages of granola bars labeled non-GMO project, they were willing to spend 35 cents more than for the boxes that had text that read, contains genetically engineered ingredients. With the USDA organic label, consumers were willing to pay 9 cents more. Meanwhile, consumers indicated they were willing to pay 35 cents more for apples labeled non-GMO project and 40 cents more for apples labeled USDA organic. Organizers say the results led them to conclude that consumers don't distinguish definitions of the two food labels. For example, the researchers say it's possible that a product labeled non-GMO project verified more clearly communicates the absence of genetically modified ingredients than a product labeled USDA organic. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.